In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Nobody likes to hear bad news. When someone has cancer, no one enjoys having the doctor tell them that they have cancer. But it's only when you have the bad news that you have cancer that you can then begin to seek out the treatment and hopefully get the eventual good news that you have been cured. And it would be foolish for a person who had cancer to only go to cancer-affirming doctors that would tell them that they had nothing to worry about. It might make you feel better for a while to go to doctors that would affirm you and say that you don't have anything that you need to do anything about, but the truth is going to catch up with such a person every time. The prophet Micah, whose memory we celebrate today, was a prophet who told people both the bad news and the good news, whether they liked it or not. And there were false prophets in his time that would prophesy good things for those that paid them, and they might prophesy bad things if the payment stopped. But Micah was not that kind of a prophet. The prophet Jeremiah died almost exactly 100 years after the prophet Micah did, but he was born only about 20 years after the repose of the prophet Micah. And in his time, the problem of false prophets had gotten a lot worse. He mentions in the book of Jeremiah, he says, "The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power, and my people love to have it so. But what will you do in the end?" So he's saying we have false prophets, and elsewhere he says these prophets prophesy peace, peace, when there is no peace. And the question he asks at this is, what's going to happen in the end? You know, you can listen to these people who are telling you lies that make you feel good. Don't worry, the Babylonians are not coming. Don't worry, it's all going to be okay. But one day the Babylonians are going to come and it's not going to be okay. And so if you're not repenting and seeking God's mercy, and you're just assuming that God's judgment that you're hearing from the prophet Jeremiah isn't really going to happen because you've got these false prophets that are telling you not to worry about it, you're going to be in for a world of hurt, and that's exactly what wound up happening. Later on in the prophecy of Jeremiah, he had been prophesying in the temple, and he had a run-in with the leaders who were deciding that maybe he ought to be put to death. It says, "Then spake," this is in Jeremiah chapter 26, beginning with verse 11, "Then spake the priests and the prophets unto the princes and to all the people, saying, This man is worthy to die, for he hath prophesied against this city, as ye have heard with your ears. Then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and to all the people, saying, The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that ye have heard. Therefore, now amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he hath pronounced against you. As for me, behold, I am in your hand. Do with me as seemeth good and meet unto you. But know ye for certain that if ye put me to death, ye shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth, the Lord has sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears." So what he's saying is you know, you've heard only the truth. The Lord sent me to tell you these things. And what you ought to do is repent, and then God will relent from doing what he has promised to do to you because of your sins. But he's acknowledging, I'm in your power. I can't fight you people off. If you can do whatever you want, but if you put me to death, you're going to have innocent blood on your hands. And then the people actually wind up quoting from the prophecy of Micah, which is one of the few places in the Old Testament where you have one book of the Old Testament quoting another book of the Old Testament. It says, "Then said the princes and all the people unto the priests and to the prophets, This man is not worthy to die, for he hath spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God. Then rose up the elders of the land and spake to all the assembly of the people, saying, Micah the Moreshethite prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and spake to all the people of Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house of the high places as a forest? Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all of Judah put him at all to death? Did he not fear the Lord and besought the Lord, and the Lord repented him of the evil which he had pronounced against them? Thus we might procure great evil against our souls. And the point of it is that Micah indeed prophesied the destruction of Jerusalem, and it would have probably happened, or it would have happened sooner, had the people not repented. But because they repented at the preaching of prophets like Micah and also the prophet Isaiah, that judgment was postponed. But that judgment wound up coming to pass in Jeremiah's time because the people did not repent. Today, we have LGBTQP affirming churches, and it's hard to imagine. And as many of you know, I was raised in the Church of the Nazarene, which was one of the most conservative denominations that you could possibly imagine. And my oldest brother, who's a Nazarene preacher, told me that just in their general assembly that happened this year, there were people pushing for that church to become LGBTQ affirming, which I remember what it was like in 1990 when I left it. And if you'd have told people back then that one day you'd have people pushing that in that church, you would have had people laughing in your face and saying, that never happened. This church believes in holiness. Well, my brother told me there was an article that one of these people pushing this wrote entitled Queering Holiness, if you can imagine such blasphemous thoughts. Why do people push these kinds of things? Because being LGBTQ affirming in this culture gets you a lot of brownie points. You might even get some money from different foundations. And so just like the false prophets in the Old Testament, you have people that are more than happy to tell people exactly what they want to hear. You're LGBTQ whatever, don't worry, peace. But there is no peace. The scriptures are very clear, the tradition of the church is very clear that these things are sins, and there's no way that the church can affirm these things. It would make as much sense to talk about an LGBTQ affirming church as it would to talk about an adultery affirming church, or a murder affirming church, or a theft affirming church, or a lie affirming church. And as a matter of fact, that's exactly what we're talking about here, is lie affirming churches that are willing to affirm lies because that's what people want to hear. No doctor likes to have the duty to tell somebody that they have cancer, but a doctor who loves his patients is going to tell them the truth, because otherwise they're going to die of that cancer. He wants to tell them the truth so they can get the treatment that they need and have a shot at surviving. If you're living a sexually immoral life, you have a cancer that's going to cause your eternal death, and anybody that's going to tell you anything otherwise cares more about their feelings and their comfort than they do about you, because they're willing to let you believe a lie and to tell you lies rather than to tell you the truth. You need to repent and you need to be healed. In the gospel reading today, we had a man who was not guilty of any of these obvious sins of immorality. As a matter of fact, he said to Christ, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" And Jesus did not say to him, "Don't worry, you ain't got anything to worry about. You're all good." And I'm sure that's what that guy was hoping to hear from Christ, was, "You know what, you're doing pretty good. Just keep on doing what you've been doing." But this man, who by the standards that most people would hold him to, was living a fairly righteous life, had a problem, and Christ diagnosed it. He said, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." The problem that this young man had was he had a cancer too. It just wasn't as obvious as maybe someone who was engaging in gross immorality. But this cancer was keeping him from Christ, and that cancer was that he loved his riches and he put his trust in them. And he wasn't prepared to part with those riches and just put his faith that God was going to take care of him. And Christ was right there and offering him the possibility of him becoming a disciple. And how different this man's life would have been if he'd have said yes. But we're told that he went away sorrowfully because he didn't want to hear what Christ was telling him to do. Christ is calling all of us to come closer to him and to become like him, and anything in our life that's standing in the way of our doing that is a problem that we have to deal with, whether we like it or not. And we need to not seek out those that are going to just tell us what we want to hear. St. Paul talked about how in the last days, people would gather to themselves teachers that would tickle their itching ears. They would say what they wanted to hear, and they would not endure sound doctrine. And they would turn aside from the truth to lies. And that's exactly what we see going on in our own time. It may make you feel better for a time to seek out doctors that are going to tell you that you're going to be okay and don't worry about that cancer. But the truth is going to catch up with you. It's going to be something that's going to be undeniable and unavoidable at some point down the road. So it's better to deal with it while there's still a chance to deal with it, rather than seeking out people who are going to lie to us, rather than listen to the truth, and then to only discover the truth when it's too late to deal with the disease. Amen.